Hi.
Hello.
Okay, hello everybody.
Hello.
Welcome to another week of Uncancel Culture. Mm-hmm. Y'all, thank you so much for supporting us. The show has been, again, doing really amazing. We really value y'all. And today we have a very special, very amazing guest, and her name speaks for itself. Okay. Today we have Imani. The Imani Crutches and Spice, aka Crutches and Spice.
AKA Crutches and Spice.
Imani, hello.
Hello, how are you all?
Do you want to introduce yourself to the people?
Oh, Lord. My name is Imani. I go by Crutches and Spice online because I'm Crutches and Spice but didn't promise to be nice.
I love that.
And I've been a disability advocate, particularly online, for a decade, having worked for offset of the federal government for disability, for the protection advocacy agencies, and now I kind of work for myself. And I love talking about disability and everything that it intersects with.
Mm. Right. Some would say that is awful of you, but sorry, I'm getting messy. I'm so sorry.
No, Imani is like one of the most brilliant minds that we have. Like I always say, because lately me and Imani have been getting compared to each other a lot. I'm always like, the fact that you put me in the same sentence as somebody as brilliant as Imani, like I feel honored and blessed. Like,
yeah. Thank you.
It's like, wow, you think I'm really smart. Like, that's good. Like, no, Imani is like,
you're smart.
Oh, thank you. But no, you're like a thought leader. Like I look at you as like someone who really is like shaping like the way that you lead, like the public thought, like, it is very important. And I know for a fact that you changed multiple people's lives, even mine, because I've learned a lot from you. Like, I think that is important to note. Like, not saying that I'm not that girl, but like, you really are that girl.
You just really have a wonderful, concise, beautiful way of drawing connections. And I saw someone, I forgot they're at, make a video about your content. And it's very, it's not that you're talking really at people. It's that you are posing questions or posing thoughts or connections that, yes, could trigger people and often do, as we'll get into, often do. And then you just leave space for people to reflect on that.
Yeah.
And when you be saying that you study communicate, you not wrong.
Yeah.
You can see it. You see it.
Very brilliant.
And it's necessary. Even if you agree or not, it's just necessary to have the people who are like, have you thought about this? And in every aspect. And I've also seen the shit you say happen, like come to fruition.
Literally.
Maybe for the folks out there who've maybe just started following Imani, like as someone who's followed you for the last few years, yeah. I've literally seen like, nope, Imani said this shit 2 years ago. And here we are. Like,
you are the campaign. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Hello? It is eugenics. It's always been eugenics. Like you said, you've been saying a lot of these things.
If I had a dollar for every time I've heard Imani was right, like, I mean, I would have a lot of dollars. Like, you know, for real. Like, I think the people, and I think people are aware of it too. Like, but sometimes the truth hurts.
Right.
But let's get this thing going.
Right. So, sorry.
Yeah, let's go.
Oh, okay, yeah. So let's get into our first segment. Our first segment is questions from the culture, where people, the audience, the culture asks us, sends in some questions for us to like discuss on the episode. And one popped up that I felt like would be really good for all three of us to talk about. And it is, I'm wondering if you guys think there is a way to work towards making social media / the internet a more nuanced place, or if you think that it's destined to devolve into fighting and black and white thinking because of the structure of the platforms. Limited characters, anonymity behind the screen, etc.
I think there has to be a willingness to see where space is. That's kind of why I ask people open-ended questions, because not only am I not trying to lead people to a thought, but I also want them to tell me what they think. I think when we think about communication, people forget it's a collaborative process. I can't know everything. You can't know everything. We're trying to come together in a sense of knowledge. But I think that with algorithms and social media virality, what it really puts the emphasis on is being the loudest or being the most correct, or almost creating a competition in the way that we speak to one another, when in reality, people are just trying to foster a conversation to begin with. So I think that if people are willing to leave that space open, it's possible, but I don't think a lot of people are really willing to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd agree. As of late, I keep saying that people are monologuing to their phones, because that really is what making videos are. If it's that way, right? You're just monologuing in a video to your phone and like putting it out there in the world. Even if it is something that's like an open-ended question or an analysis or critique, whatever it is, it's not a conversation. It can't be, unless you go on live, which some people like to do, but there's was that shade? Well, no, but like, you know, some people are like, well, let's take it to live. And it's like, but even that is like, it's a conversation.
It's like an arena.
It's an arena. It's like, it you're just performing, fighting and performing, debating, performing. And when it becomes like a performance aspect, it's like, well, yeah, that I feel like that is destined for it to be a black or white thinking, because it's like a debate stage rather than like actually having a conversation for the purpose of coming to a common understanding, or not, just hearing how the other person feels about something.
Yeah. And frankly, I think that the people who like to treat it like an arena, one of the ways that we're going to be able to combat that is by more people actually speaking out. Like, a lot of people like move out of fear, like I've noticed, like of these people, because these people like really can like leverage, and we've witnessed that and have been on the receiving end of it. Like, they will leverage a lot of language of harm to like try and take people down. And like, people are afraid of being on the receiving end of that, even if they do know that it's wrong. Like, you know, we were talking about how like they have the accusations that, you know, people will believe on its face, because like typically with those type of allegations, like if you accuse somebody of being anti-black, it's like you have to trust that like 9 times out of 10, because there's a history of anti-blackness where if you try not to believe it, you can be on the receiving end of some pretty harsh treatment by a person, or a person can like harm you. So it makes sense to believe those type of accusations on face value, right? It makes sense if somebody says, like referring to Christian, like when they say like, oh, he has a predatory vibe. It makes sense for people to believe that on face value, even if it's absolutely not based in merit at all. There's no history, no assertion of any predatory behavior. Like, you can say an accusation like that and destroy somebody. So I think one of the ways we are going to be able to combat this is by actually challenging these people who use like social media as like a way to like beat down on people, because that's basically what it is. Like, a lot of these people are not interested in engaging in conversation or moving society forward. They actually just want to beat people up.
Yeah, and this is actually part of the reason why we have there was the indication that Trump was going to lose the election by the sheer amount of people that were at his rallies. I don't know if you remember, the videos of his rallies were very sparse. There wasn't a lot of people in them, right? That's because people, when they are threatened like that, they learn to go underground. They learn to not be
said that.
Right, like, but I've said that so many times, their beliefs don't change. They just know not to say them aloud until they have the power enough that they can actually act upon them. And I think a lot of people think that, oh, we're winning people over, this is the winning side, when in reality, no, it's really just people going like, all right, bye. That's it. And that's happening across the board, no matter what the issue is, in so many different ways, particularly in online spaces. People just leave. They don't engage anymore.
It's so funny you said that, because that is literally one of the things that you said, like, way before even the election. I remember you saying this, because I can even visualize the video where you said it. And I was just like, oh my God. You were like, like, people go underground. It's not that like nobody's supporting him, it's that they're not doing it out loud anymore. Yeah. You said that way before November 5th. And I think, like, again, like, people could benefit to listen to what you got to say. That's all I'm
listening?
Saying.
Listening? Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, what a concept.
That's asking for a lot, I think, these days, actually.
I think that a lot of the discourse would change a lot if we were willing to let people have the space to be wrong, or even just to, like, not be afraid to be wrong.
Yeah.
And that's not a space that we operate within on social media.
I actually, as of late, meaning like the last several months, on the note of being wrong, I don't think society or the internet is ready for this, but we're going to have to get to the point to where it's like when people are making like, oh, this person's anti-black, this person's transphobic, this person's that. There's going to have, and people might not be ready to hear it. There's even going to have to be some nuance to that stuff, because we're going to get to a realization of every single one of us has these types of isms and phobias, because we are all indoctrinated by the system. So that means all of us have these types of isms and phobias that are just might be subconscious, or we're not even aware of them, or we are aware of them, but we don't see how problematic they are. And we are going to be like, oh no, damn, that was anti-black of me, or that was transphobic of me. But it might not be with negative intentions. This makes me think of like Courtney, where Courtney J, where she was talking about like, oh, like, please, like, disclose, trans women, disclose immediately, so you can to be safe. Her intention was like
she
safety.
She handled that so beautifully.
She did.
Too.
Yeah. And then a whole bunch of people, especially trans women, were like, this is like transphobia and transphobic. But because of her intention and where she was like coming from, we could turn that conversation to like, well, this is a lesson of how when your intentions are this, you're still spewing this kind of rhetoric that could be harmful or taken, instead of just immediately discarding her. That shit's gonna happen a lot. And it already is. It already is happening. How are we gonna like actually engage with that and be able to tell the difference between like, this is a person who has indoctrinated thinking that we can shift and change and they're willing to change, versus like, this is a person who is wanting to lead with the hate and we can't have much room for them to call them in.
Yeah, no.
But even still beyond that, I think the accusations actively harm the community making them as well. Because when they're misapplied, then it shifts the meaning, right?
Right.
Seeing the same thing happen with anti-Semitism and the Anti-Defamation League regarding Kanye's tweets, right? The Anti-Defamation League was very adamant that protesting the genocide in Gaza was anti-Semitic. We have seen them defend Elon Musk's quote-unquote Roman salute.
Oh, please.
And now that their accusations of anti-Semitism are now leveraged against Kanye West, which, to be clear, he is anti-Semitic, right? Nobody's arguing that. But because they have used the accusation so erroneously in the past, now that it's being applied to Kanye West, everybody's like, do you really have a leg to stand on with that one?
Right.
No.
No pun intended. But
oh my God, Amadi.
They could be like, see? She makes everything about disability.
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, it's shifting the meaning, and now they can't really apply it in the same way that they have in the past.
Yeah, you know what's funny? Like, as a therapist, this is like one of my biggest beasts with pop psychology. Like, literally, what were we talking about? They were talking about Christian. Like, they were saying he was gaslighting people by saying, I'm not giving white people an N-word pass. I was like, that's not what gaslighting is. Like, disagreeing with an accusation against their character is not the same thing as gaslighting. They were like, yes, it is. I said, I'm a licensed therapist. I think I know what gaslighting
actually,
is.
Actually, what y'all are doing is gaslighting.
Like, hello? Like, I'm like, gaslighting is when somebody tries to convince you out of your reality. Like, they're literally lying to you to manipulate you out of believing what actually happened. That's not this.
Maybe gaslighting. Yeah,
like,
folks,
when you water down language, like, it really does have like some very serious implications. Mm-hmm. Just like when people misuse, oh my God, and I don't want to talk too much about this, I'm gonna be honest, but like the Justin Baldoni and Blake Lively case, right? I'm not gonna get too deep into that, because that's a whole pile of white people business that ain't got nothing to do with me. But like, somebody, because I was saying like, oh, like, it's inappropriate to talk to your boss, employee, coworker after like 1 a.m. Like, that was my stance. Somebody said like, oh, well, like, that doesn't stop it from being sexual assault. I said, the case has no allegations of sexual assault. Sexual assault is a physical thing. Mm-hmm. Sexual harassment is what's being argued. But when you water down language like sexual assault, that has a very specific meaning. When we take like language that describes harm, that language is created so we can define harm and protect people who are being harmed. So when you, like, for example, leverage sexual assault in a case that has no accusations of sexual assault, like, you are causing more harm than you are good. One, because you're like making right. her allegations seem like they are dramatic, and they're not, because she's talking about sexual harassment, which is very different from assault. Like, yeah. And I get it. Like, yeah, it's, everybody I doesn't mean, have all the language, but yeah,
I have a hot take on that too. I think that's a tool of white supremacy too. It is, well, they take the identity of something that they know could be leveraged. It's what they did with anti-Semitism with Zionism. They knew mm-hmm. that was something that was legitimate. Mm-hmm. So then they used that to shield. They use that identity to shield. You talk about identity shielding. Mm-hmm. They use a certain identity to shield actual terrible behavior. You could see it with white women and black men and them lying in history, Emmett Till's and whatnot, right? Oh, that's yeah. misogyny. Oh my God. No, you're trying to use the legitimacy of misogyny to exclude them of like their racism. Or like when you see cis women being really transphobic, they'll use the misogyny that they face of being like excluded from womanhood that is legitimate to then be transphobic. It's like the using yeah. of identities to shield actual harmful behavior is something that white supremacy does. And
yeah.
It's interesting too, because it's always leveraged against the disability communities being like chronically online and mm-hmm. you know, this, you know, queer, non-binary with ADHD, and I'm like, but yeah. the thing that bothers me the most, particularly when it comes to disability and disabled people, is, well, yes, there are disabled people that will do that. A lot of times they're making up a disabled person to defend. They're actually like this isn't even a real person you made up. Like, there's actual disabled people that could tell you what this dynamic looks like. Yeah. But 9 times out of 10, you're making one up to defend yourself. Like, how has yeah. that happened? I can't stand that shit.
That feels yeah. like a perfect segue.
Okay, y'all. So our next segment is the hot seat. If you're unfamiliar with the hot seat, that is where we do interviews. This is where people have an opportunity to talk about things that may be controversial, that may get them canceled.
Mm-hmm. That put in is a hot seat.
The hot seat, okay? But today we have Imani, and we're going to do something a little different, because Imani has recently been on the receiving end of accusations that she lied about people laughing at what's happening to the children and the people of Gaza. And I do want to hear Imani. I do want to hear you speak and what you have to say. But before we get into that, I do want to just play a video, because I like to start with the truth. So I'm going to play a video for the audience.
Just did a massacre against the Jabalia refugee camp and murdered 50 children in 48
hours. Oh. Just 50? Keep that tally open, baby. The day is young. Oh, and Tabitha, I was thinking about making me some pasta with shrimp. Yes. And I think I'm going to use the Borsan cheese. You know, blister me some grape tomatoes, throw some spinach in there, shrimp, the Borsan cheese. And I'm going to drink that ball of champagne. Mm-hmm. Okay. Everybody just do the best they can.
I wish it was
to
over.
Take care of yourself. Yourself. Your business. If it ain't your business, you know what to do. Drink some water and find yours and mind it.
Okay. We get it. Sorry.
but there's another video from the same woman who I mm-hmm. saw, like, where she was saying she wants to buy real estate in Gaza, because she know mm-hmm. Trump said that the real estate yeah. would be beautiful. I mean, this is not even the only creator.
I was going to say, no, let me add before we get into it. There's also, I'm looking at an image where it says, when Gaza Strip gets turned into a casino and a hotel resort with someone drinking from a Starbucks cup. And then if anyone is actually interested, you could look up at the DNC, because, I mean, Imani, you'll get into it, but Imani named specifically talking about Democrats laughing at children's limbs in Gaza, right? There was at the DNC protesters for Palestine, and there's video images of people walking out of the DNC laughing, covering their ears, mocking the protesters.
Yeah.
And you can find that on TikTok at Islam Channel TV. So
yeah.
those videos do exist among many other ones. And if you want to take the floor, Imani.
Please.
I mean, people were like, you need to post the proof. You need to post the proof with such vitriolic accusations against the Democratic Party. I didn't want to post the proof. There's too many Palestinians that follow me. Mm. And they shouldn't have to be exposed to that just for me to get one over on some stranger on the internet. Mm. And the reason why I said there is that they're making a grave mistake. Let them make it, because they are consistently so cruel to people who are a lot of times asking very legitimate questions of the Democratic Party, that the Democratic Party almost feels as though they don't have to change anything about their strategy, anything about their community building, anything about the policies that they propose during elections. And they know that these people will always be bodies in seats no matter what. And that the people who are questioning things will be thrust out of the party. We are in a time right now with the Democratic Party, very not so unsimilar to the Tea Party or the Trump era of the Republican Party. Mm. During the Trump era of the Republican Party, when it first started, when Trump was first proposed to be the Republican nominee, a bunch of Republicans were quickly disposed of when it came to the party. They were left. They were like, goodbye, gone. If you don't get on board, you're gone. The problem with Democrats doing the same thing, though, they're not going to gain anybody. Mm. Like, yeah. They're not going to gain anybody. They're moving further right. And if they're moving further right, then a majority of people are going to just think to themselves, if I'm seeing a party move further right, either I don't belong there, or I could just vote for Republicans, right? So that's where we kind of are at this time. And I think that the greatest threat are the people that will settle for anything. Regardless.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that is such an important thing to acknowledge, right? Because I too am someone who from the very beginning, like have had like criticisms against, like, I feel like you should always have criticism for any politician. I think there's no politician that will ever grace this earth that will not get a solid, okay, and what the fuck is this from me? I think that, if anything, it's kind of, like, sad that we've come to a space where so many people blindly, like, come behind politicians. And I do understand, like, what it means, like, because there is a balance, right? I understand what it represents to have, like, a Black woman running for the highest seat in, like, this country.
Right.
Right? But, like, that does not take away from principles and, like, actual reality, right? And I feel like I have witnessed, Imani, you do nothing but acknowledge reality. Like, I have not heard you say anything that is just false. Like, even this down to the accusation that you lied about seeing these videos. I've seen these videos before you even said anything. So it's so confusing to me that so many people are so willing to not only just like turn away from people who are closer to them than they are to these politicians, but to actually like use these things to beat down on people who are closer to them than these actual politicians.
People don't like to hear reality, and they don't like to be triggered by reality. And I feel like people have an issue with understanding that multiple things can be true at once, and that also means multiple realities can exist. Like, you can have your reality could be that, and then their reality could be that, and sometimes different realities conflict, but it doesn't mean that they don't all exist at the same time, and just sit in the discomfort of that.
Yeah.
I remember also, I think a lot of people were being, number one, very nitpicky about you being like Democrats laughing at the limbs of children, God, shit like that. They were nitpicking your words and being very literal. Like, they wanted to see an exact video of someone saying those exact words. You're being really nitpicky. Okay, moving whatever.
It's a logical fallacy.
Like, yeah, logical fallacy. Absolutely. Logical fallacy, because even in being presented these videos, they've been like, no, well, that's not, she said specifically this. I also want to name, whether it was hyperbole or not, you cannot rewrite history that there are a slew for a week at least after the election, a bunch of videos being made about, I'm going back to Starbucks, I'm going to McDonald's, here's me with my mocha Starbucks just dropped their shit, da 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 da. That happened in a slew of videos that went viral. And if y'all are going to sit here and say that we didn't see that shit happen, the fact that you want to rewrite history, and that was only a couple months ago, is absolutely bonkers.
And I'll just really... Sorry, Imani, just really quickly, I want to add, also these corporations were trying to take advantage of that. I told you, Starbucks invited me to an event like the day after the election. And I said, fuck no. Like, have you lost your mind? Yes, Imani, please.
The funniest part about that, because I watched all that, and that's when I unfollowed even more people, because I was like, you all have got to be kidding. Mm-hmm. There was two main components to me that actually made me hearty har a little bit. One was telling everybody to go back to McDonald's during a listeria outbreak. Right.
But like, how bad their hate is.
Right.
And no, that's a perfect analogy for the hate. Like,
go get sick to be anti-Palestinian. But the second one was, now that these companies are rolling back DEI, they're realizing it's the same companies.
What? Our oppressions are interwoven?
Companies. I'm like, it's the same ones. And the ironic part is that they're going to, should Trump ever pull the anti-BDS legislation card that Biden laid out for him on a red carpet, they will be accused of anti-Semitism because they're boycotting the same companies that are on the BDS boycott.
Lord.
Look. And what was getting me, what was really getting me, was that, you know, the Starbucks one was like about unions and the workers at first. So imagine they said, well, why you say fuck me for this? I'm not getting paid. Come back and get a mocha frap. It wasn't even really, they didn't start there.
Yeah.
They just finding anything, child. And it's so disingenuous to come back. I hope too much? I might have. Hoping that people could come back and reflect on that and see, like, I saw what that was. It was anger, frustration, irritation, and I understood it, which, again, back to the multiple realities and truths existing at once. There were people that were able to express that I'm irritated, that I'm feeling feelings I haven't felt before, and I'm trying to, like, work through them, talk through them. And didn't have to go that far and showcase it. The steps you have to take to even having a, could have that. You could have a thought, well, fuck that. I'm not gonna boycott this, da 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 da. But to go make the video, drive over there, pop up your phone, I'm like, there's even a difference between that to me. Having the thought, I could work with having the thought and talk to someone about that. But the display of it and the performance of it, nuts.
What gets me is like, and this is just like what I've been saying, like, since like the election itself, it's like, Palestinians cannot, like, the Palestinians in Gaza did not vote. Like, they literally had nothing to do with this. Like, the people saying, like, fuck around and find out for the, like,
ICE
the
raids.
Undocumented. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm like, these people didn't vote for this. Like, so why are you, like, offering them up on a chopping block when they literally did not have a hand in this happening? Like, while I do understand, like, there are, of course, like the people from marginalized groups who did support Trump and stuff, I think it's also like kind of like a disservice to us to like discount like how much whiteness played into this. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it is very clear with the exit polls, and how, like, if you had all of the white people who were poor vote differently, the election would have gone differently. If you had all of the white people who didn't have college degrees vote differently, the election would have and I mean, like, is it too hard for them to even, like, look at, like the issue that this country has faced for, like, literal centuries, like, to say, like, maybe this issue is, like, deeper than just this go round?
I think also too, we truly do discount that. Yes, whiteness does play a role. Yes, racism does play a role. Yes, sexism does play a role. But a lot of these people fall down these pipelines because of desperation. Because of economic insecurity is one of the biggest reasons that people come out of after a Trump election where he wins, because it's the second freaking time. But they're like, well, it can't be economic security insecurity. They're just racist. When you look, if you look at Google Trends, if you go to trends.google.com, and you look at the time in which the search term bad economy skyrocketed. It was 2 months after May 2023. It was July that it skyrocketed. That was 2 months after the COVID emergency ended, in which rental assistance ended, in which food stamps ended, in which help, like easier access to healthcare ended. People were actually economically insecure. And what winds up happening is they start looking for any way to make money. And then it's Bitcoin. Then it's Forex. They fall down these pipelines because they're desperate a lot of the time. And we do ourselves a disservice when we just point to one issue and say, this is the only reason why this is the problem. Yes, all those things, all those isms are a problem. I'm not discounting that. But it truly is people being economically insecure and trying to find any way to put a dollar in their pocket to save themselves and their families, which also plays a large role.
Yeah. I actually did a video essay where I talked about the connection between loneliness and social isolation and fascism. Like, and a huge part or contributing factor to loneliness is economic insecurity, like where people feel like desperate because, you know, third spaces are gone. Work-life balance is impossible because you have to like work twice as much to get like even half of what you need to survive. Like all of those things drive like fascism, frankly.
And it applied to the disability community. Everything you just said applies to the disability community. A majority of disabled people vote conservative. They are isolated. They are economically insecure through legislation. We are, disabled people are legislated into poverty. We are lonely. Like we do, our communities don't see us as members that are equal to themselves. It's very paternalistic. Oh, well, we're just going to have, you know, have them around, have them to have little fun. No. When I look at the white disabled people that are organizing politically, there is far less emphasis on that for Black disabled people and people of color, because the trickle down of that oppression is even worse for people of color and Black people with disabilities. Yeah. And yet very rarely do we see spaces that are dedicated just to those groups of people to organize, to that have the backing of non-disabled people to financially back these groups. Yeah. So it's all of that wears itself on the disability community.
Yeah. And you know, did you want
to? No,
you go. I was going to say, like, what baffles me is like, you know, Black and brown people, like, racism is disabling. Like, it's so shocking to me because I know all of us have like disabled people in our families. My brother is disabled I know that you can only have like, you have to have like what, like less than $2,000 in your bank account in order to be like to receive like benefits. Right. It's like, and y'all should know this.
Also very much at risk of becoming disabled. Being disabled and having a disability is not that you have and then you're, no, you can come into being. Easily. I remember you made a lot of constant money during COVID being like, this is a disabling event. And like, that is something that is not just like you're born, okay, well, you're born this or you're born, but it's like people can become and do become disabled at any point in time.
Yes.
And especially with COVID and stuff, that even in my own ways that I've noticed the way that my health is like, oh, dude, what is my, like, I have asthma. The way that it's like, people think asthma, like, that's not autoimmune disease. That's like a very.
Do you think that you're weaponizing asthma right now?
I might be, actually.
It sounds like you're weaponizing. Thank you,
because why did I bring that up, right? Because what that means.
Yeah.
Why do I need to breathe?
Why'd you bring that up? Like, you're trying to shield yourself with your
asthma.
From
my Blackness. No, from my Blackness. Yeah,
care about Black people. You have asthma.
You're right. Even
listen, it's Black first and disability second, okay?
The way they talk about it, they be like, why do you even bring it up at all?
Do you hear yourselves? Oh my God.
But you could even track by redline neighborhoods rates of asthma.
Mm.
Right? Like that is a historic practice that still manifests in higher rates of asthma for Black kids today.
Yep.
So I want to add to that, actually. Like, fun fact about me, when I lived in Baltimore, like I did a lot of work with youth, and part of the work I did was with the Baltimore Tree Trust, and we maintained and added to the Baltimore tree canopy because in urban neighborhoods where Black people are typically highly concentrated, like the tree canopy is next to nil. And that is a design of like urban planning and how they intentionally like keep resources away from Black communities. And asthma is extremely high in Black communities because there's no fucking tree canopy. Like little things like that contribute to like the way that, like disabilities, like I'm telling you. And like I feel like one of the dangers that we have is that so many people are unwilling to connect the one and the two. And it's easier to like, you know, God, I'm sorry to my people because I know so many people are going to be upset with this. It's easier to like create like this false, like these false idols. Like, you know, we see people who look like us like running for these positions. It's easy. And look, I wanted a Black woman as president too. I still want a Black woman as president. Right. But I also don't want to be dishonest about the reality that we have going on as people. Like overall, like we have a lot of shit that's going wrong in our society. And I cannot ignore politicians who do wrong. Like when you question like certain policy choices, when you question certain enabling, like I did not like I said, I worked with youth for years. Like, I did not like her stance on truancy for a very long time. And that was before she even ran for president. Like, and it's no shade. Like, it's just like, I still, like, I could see that she's a better candidate. But, like, it's like, you can hold space for all of these things at the same time. Like, and you don't push these people to be better politicians. And one thing I will give Kamala is Kamala was open to being better. Like, like a lot of the time she like I've seen her go back, like she has a track record of listening and like changing policy as a result of hearing people push her. And I feel like, again, like what Imani said, like it is such a disservice to like not push these politicians to be better.
What are you said? No shade. I said it could be shady. You a politician, it's your job. I'm not talking about you as a person. I'm your job. It's your job. Full shade, actually. Umbrella open. Like, I don't give a fuck. It's your job. You work for us.
Yeah.
Like,
I do want to also like leave like space. Like, I will say, there was a lot of anti-Blackness towards Kamala.
Oh, 100%.
And, like, 100%. A lot of sexism. Like, those things, that did happen at the 100%. Same time. And I think there's a way to talk about her and what her campaign was without, like, those things. And we should jump anybody who's going to come in with racism and sexism and all that jazz. And it's a balance.
Multiple things.
Hello?
Now,
Imani, when did you recognize that you weaponized your disability?
In the time in the womb.
In the womb you was planning it? That's crazy.
I stole my birthday. That was my first transgression. I stole my birthday. I was born 2 months early. I think with disabled people and disability and Blackness, I've been working in this space for years now. And the hardest thing, like, I will never discount the fact that getting resources as a Black person, regardless of other mitigating circumstances, is very difficult. And the system does not make it easy. It's very difficult to gain knowledge, and a lot of it is passed down orally. I only got diagnosed with my disability because another Black mother at our church had a son that had just gone through the exact same thing the year before us, right? Like, it's that network of Black women and Black people that keeps disabled Black people into those services. But what I will say is one of the hardest parts in getting people those services is telling them you have to say the word disability. Like when I was working for the Protection Advocacy Network, our grant funding required that we only help disabled people or advocates for disabled people or people who are working on behalf of disabled people. And in order to do that, they had to identify not just their disability and say they had a disability, but when they were diagnosed, how they knew they were diagnosed, like what other services have they try to access before this one, right? And that's a very big hurdle for a lot of people because I could ask you this question because you're both Black people, but do you think alligator bait
shut the fuck up. I'm
cosplaying. do you think that the Black babies fed to alligators were able-bodied?
No, obviously not.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
No, but yeah.
There's been a history. There's a fully fledged history of Black disabled people not just experiencing violence at the axis of their race, but also their disability.
Yeah.
You know, schools for the blind were segregated. Schools for the deaf were segregated, creating their own language. We have had, you know, we have stratus, like in terms of our geography, we were very separated. Black people, Black disabled people weren't allowed in public for 200 years, even after the Emancipation Proclamation, pretty much, like, because of ugly laws. You were only allowed outside from the 1860s until 1974 as entertainment.
Yeah.
We have a history that is, like, coinciding with the civil rights movement at every step of the way. And what people are doing is a disservice. So if you want Black liberation, you need disabled liberation, because the goal of racism is to inherently tie Blackness to a disability. That's why I'm using DEI as a slur, not just to mean the N-word, but intellectually disabled too.
I was literally just about to say Black history includes disability history. It includes disability advocacy. And like, if we cannot, number one, acknowledge that, I find it interesting you talking about, you saying like, one of the things is you have to be comfortable saying disability and naming it in the same breath that people are so fine saying slurs that I'm trying to find my words because I'm trying, because my mouth is really about to go crazy right now. I'm finding it. And I'm also not trying to like echo the words that people are using. But like words that are in like popular lexicon to be used to kind of denote and speak to people who have disabilities in a very disgusting way. People are fine. I don't want to stop using the R word. Why do we have to stop saying that? That's AAVE. Oh, no, I'm going to call her this. But I can say that because she's I'm also disabled. Like, you're so frivolous with your mouth in this way, but you can't actually engage with it in a way that's necessary and important. And downright like something you could relate to. Like, this isn't something, disability and disability advocacy is not something that is oh my God, doesn't touch our community. We just had a black creator, Dominique Brown, pass away at a creator event because of her of an allergy that she communicated, that clearly there was some negligence, and she was given food that led to her passing away. Like, this is something that touches us.
I want
to. Well, I just want to touch upon Dominique. Even with people with allergies, like Dominique, who passed away from her allergy, people do consider her even talking about it a weaponization of her disability. Like, that's the reality. I've heard of so many people with allergies who are fed the very thing they're allergic to as a test to see if they're really faking it or weaponizing it. But go ahead.
Sorry. Oh my goodness.
I'm getting heated.
This is making me emotional. Like, more Shaheem lore. I actually, when I was in grad school, I had a graduate assistantship in a disability access office at Pratt. So like, I learned a whole lot, and I want to just like go back to the naming disability. And this makes me so emotional because I've seen it in real time, like how Black people are just like, and I needed it at the time, and I didn't know that I needed it when I was getting to grad school. Like, I'm like, I was really struggling. Like, I'm ADHD down. Okay. So I was really struggling, and like seeing so many white students coming in and like getting access, like, and just like having resources and support, like that shit really was just like, and it was what I needed to actually understand, like, oh, I actually have like all of the same shit that most of these people have, and I'm just struggling.
Yeah.
And I think it's just so ridiculous as Black people to try and like sever that like connection between us and all the other facets of our identity. Mm-hmm. Like, it's such a disservice to us.
Yeah.
The same way where they're like, you're Black first, not queer. Like, that's not true. We are all of these things at the same time. Just like, you're not Black and then a woman. You are both at the same time. And like, I think it's just so wild because like, I have witnessed in real time how so many other communities, like the white people, like have resources, like and access, because we just do not like value like the importance of like seeing like these issues as connected to our blackness, because they are like in fact all of like, and I like, this is just the truth, it's the reality through and through. Like the way that the most marginalized people among us are treated is the way that the rest of us are going to be treated eventually. And I feel like to ignore that, it's like walking into McDonald's to get Listeria after just to prove a point. Like it just doesn't make sense.
Like an avoidance aspect to it. I remember when I first got like official, like not that a diagnose, especially because diagnosing with black folks is like, we all know that, there's discrepancies there. But when I officially got diagnosed with an anxiety disorder and had been, I was crippling. Like I couldn't do anything. I couldn't drive without a panic attack. It was affecting so much of my life for months. That, like, my father, he really struggled to be, like, he was, like, I think mental illness is something that your generation made up. And, like, my auntie had, and no shade to my dad, you know, we talked a lot since. He's talked about his own depression. We locked in, but this was in my early 20s. But having to explain to him, like, no, like, this, I remember my auntie, because she's a nurse practitioner, I had to explain to her, like, what this means about how Christina's brain operates. This, like, this isn't something that is, like, gonna go away. Like, this is how her brain has functioned, has developed, and who other slew of other things, right? But, like, him understanding that it's not something made up. And then when you look at your parents or you look at people in your family, you're like, you kind of have, you know, you.
Yeah.
You a little. You a little newer, spicier. Like, you know, that's an autoimmune thing. Like,
oh, my God, yes.
Like, you, like, you're not clocking it as that.
It's sad. It's really sad.
Yeah. So,
I mean, and that generational divide even happens within the disability community and Black people. So a lot of people ask me the question, like, do I say disabled person or do I say person with a disability? If you ask a Black person, particularly a Black man who's older than maybe 40 years old, he's going to say person with a disability because he was raised during the civil rights era of disabled people that said, I'm a person first, but as a younger person, I say I'm a disabled person, right? Mm. And that generational divide happens even within our community. Right. There even is a reluctance as disabled people to identify as having a disability because it can be so isolating. So I think that people realize the underlying issues as to why this conversation happens, but I don't think what people are really emphasizing is how do we bring this forward to make sure that people are getting what they need when we have these conversations in the first place.
I'm so happy that this is because I'm trying to find it myself. I have some unkind words to say about a lot of people, but they don't even deserve that energy. I'll be honest.
I'm glad this is the conversation that has come from it.
Because I do have some very unkind words to say. And if you're listening, your mama's... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not going to say it. Do you want to bring us into our next segment?
Before we get to that segment, let me finish this segment off because I'll say it.
Oh, God.
And I fucking mean it. There was also some discourse about both of you were included in this, Shaheem and Imani, comparing y'all and some other creators to Proud, other Black visible creators to Proud Boys. And because I'm not in it, I'm gonna say it. That was such a, let me find it. If you don't see how dangerous it is to compare two Black, visible Black content creators who speak on serious issues, who hold multiple marginalizations visibly and talk about them and share them, to Proud Boys, a group that is aligned with hate, aligned with anti-Semitism, racism, all the like KKK type alignment, and you to name that and to align these visible Black content creators who talk about their marginalizations and with pride and unapologetically, I want to say you need to go back to the drawing board, but a part of me wants to be like, that is so fucking foolish of you. And there's a difference between disagreeing with people. There's a difference between just not liking motherfuckers, but to make videos to proclaim that they are the same as the same people that want to literally kill them is really fucking disgusting. And there should be no room for that shit. I'm trying to find it. It makes me emotional to think about, because like beef and all, whatever, going on lives, arguing, saying, oh, fuck this person. Oh, this person made a bad joke. This person was hyperbolic, whatever. That crosses a line that I think we really need to fucking call in and call in quickly and make sure that that shit does not fly. And if that is the type of shit that you want to engage in within the Black community, then ask yourself if you consider yourself kin that Harriet Tubman would consider. Because Harriet Tubman also had what? She had spells where she would pass out.
And disabilities.
Harriet Tubman had disabilities. So what are we talking about? Like, that's all I have to say about that. Y'all can say if you want to, but I said what I say, and I'll stand 10 toes behind that, because I felt that was absolutely ridiculous, and that we can disagree and have different mindsets on stuff without going there, and neither of you deserve that shit.
You said that in a much kinder way than I would have said it, because I would have said at least 4 cuss words real
bad.
You
see me, my lip trembling.
Amani, you deserve so much more than some of the stuff you go through on the internet, child. But you are very beloved. I hope you know that, too. Right. Like, you are such an icon. I'm honored to know you.
Thank you so much. I mean, to be honest, you know, there's shadow boxing a version of me that doesn't exist.
Lock that tea.
I like that.
They had to create her in order to fight her. So if they want to continue doing that, feel free.
Love that.
That's going to be a clip right there.
It sure is.
That's a clip right there. That's
beautiful segue.
How dare they say that this is not a communication expert? Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I try. I mean, like, with communication, it's really interesting because people think that you're trying to talk about a moral issue, and a lot of times you're just talking about strategy.
Well, like, nigga, get in the gym. Like, fucking right, shoot like, a little like, bit. Yeah.
Right, like, for people real. Get really upset, but, you know, I'm really happy that, you know, you asked me to be on this, and I'm really, truly grateful for the people that follow me and, you know, stick with me and hear me out, even if they don't always agree, because I don't always agree with everybody.
Yeah.
You know, so, thank you.
I think that's a beautiful segue, too.
It is.
All right, we got to hurry them up, child.
Okay.
Our next segment is, as y'all know, the culture is uncultured of the week. So all three of us choose something that we deem to be uncultured. So they could be lacking nuance, lacking depth. It could be serious. It could be playful. It could be whatever. Do you have yours?
My uncultured of the week is going to be the CMAs. Fuck you. CMAs, if you listening, ho. That's it. I don't got nothing else to add. I just don't like you.
Period. I love it. Do you have one, Imani?
I guess my uncultured would be RFK Jr.
Yes.
Yes.
Perfect.
Performing medical racism.
Literally.
That somebody tried to say was a compliment.
I saw that. I said, oh. Excuse you? I want a vaccine.
What do you mean? Come on.
I'm already disabled. There's another part could go dead too. I'm fine with it. Just vaccinate me. You know?
Pump me up. I don't know.
It's so crazy. It's a compliment is nuts. So say medical racism is a compliment. Girl, no.
Yeah.
That's like when child. They say Black people have a higher pain tolerance. No, actually, everything hurts. Please give me the more dope. treat me. I'm going to say the uncultured of the week is the security who tackled the protester at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The one who held up the flag that said, Free Sudan, Free Palestine, uncultured of the week. And they was fighting to get him, man. I don't know what they were doing. He stood standing for a minute.
Right.
You didn't do your job very well. I don't know. Not that you should have.
Yeah.
But like.
I'm glad that you suck at your job.
You really do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Our last segment and our finale is Uncancel Court, and this is where we have a minute apiece to argue why something should be uncanceled, a person, place, a thing, an idea, like a show. It could be anything you can think of. But who wants to go first? Imani, because I know we just like sprung this on you. I think do you want to go first?
No, you should go.
Okay, I'll go first. So we get a minute and... So hold on, let me pull up my clock. My time starts now. I think we should uncancel traditional media. I'm going to be honest with you. And I mean fairness doctrine. Like, if you don't know what the fairness doctrine is, it's when reporters used to be obligated to tell both sides of the story, legally obligated. I miss traditional media. I'm so tired of scrolling down my FYP, scrolling down a news feed, and seeing breaking news. Like, everything can't be breaking. Something got to be together. Somebody figure it out. Because everything ain't breaking apart. You stressing me out, and I know that there's a lot going on in the world, but it ain't that goddamn much. Somebody get it together. I need me a journalist who will prop day behind a camera and tell me what the hell is going on, and not 24-hour breaking news. Like, that news cycle is what is part of what's killing this goddamn country, right, if you ask me. But yes, uncancel traditional media. I do not like these TikTok journalists. No shade. I like some of y'all. Black Belt Babe, if you listen to this, I love you.
Black Belt Babe.
But everybody else, wrap it up. That's it. I went a little over time. You did.
Okay. That was good.
Thank you.
I'm going to piggyback off of that.
Okay, you ready?
Real quick. Yeah, step by step.
Time starts now.
Uncancel, actually not, well, fuck. Damn, I have to figure out how to say it. Fuck. Uncancel, give me a second, not knowing. Not having to know what it is you're talking about to talk about the shit. There we go. Uncancel not knowing what it is that you need to know to talk about the shit. You don't know everything. I think Hank Green had a video where he said, everyone say it with me. I don't know everything. Everyone thinks you can have an opinion on stuff. Sure. Is it educated? Is it? And not educated in the way of like academic sense always. Experience is education. Living is education. Yeah. But know what the fuck you're talking about before you're just uttering things. I'm also irritated because I had a situation where I had to go to the hospital this week. I'm okay, y'all. But the doctor was telling me things. I showed a picture of what was happening to me to the doctor and she went, Oh, where did you get your degree at? I almost turned into a Karen. Do you know, do you have the degrees? Do you have the experience? Do you know what it is that you're talking about? Bring back having to actually know some shit before you saying that you know some shit.
Okay. You went a little over time, but you made sense. I took
that off my chest.
Yeah.
Okay.
You ready, Imani? Your time starts now.
Okay. I would like to uncancel plastic straws. If I have opened another effing straw and it's paper or some biodegradable plastic that is melting in my effing mouth, I'm gonna lose my shit. I have a vendetta against these paper freaking straws. Why is it it sits in a drink for less than 10 minutes and it's part of the pulp in the drink now? Why am I sitting here chewing my drink? Because you wanted to put a wheat straw in my drink. I don't want that. That's how dare you. Plastic straws are sterile. They work. Just because a little turtle once knows, does not mean I have to endure this for the rest of my life. It is unfair.
Wow, look, that was under a minute.
Turtle's gonna make a video about you on TikTok. This is for crutches and spice.
Oh my God,
you weaponizing my disability. I guess the turtle's gonna say to you,
Imani, thank you so much. Can you tell people where to find you, please?
Sure. I'm at crutches_and_spice crippled on TikTok.
You're hilarious for that, by the way.
And I'm at crutches_and_spice on Instagram. And I'm at Imani_Barbarin on Twitter. You can find me everywhere. You can just Google me. Period. It's cool.
Google me.
Google me.
And that's what we Google
Everybody
me.
Can't say that. Haters. Imani, thank you so much.
So much for this conversation. Very much needed. Appreciate and honor like everything that you do and the conversations that you bring to the surface, whether or not it's triggering, don't matter. People need to hear it. So thank you.
Deal
so
with
much,
your triggers
girl.
By yourself. Leave us out of it.
All right. Yes. See y'all next time.